Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Tonight, I just want to share just one verse with you. So you're very fortunate tonight to just have one verse. That's all I got. So when I'm out there, we'll be done. But listen to what this verse says. And of course, we stand for the reading of the word. Would you stand with me as we read this verse together? Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for so many friends that have gathered here. And Father, I pray tonight, Lord Jesus, not exactly knowing why you've impressed upon my heart in such a way to share this message, but knowing, Lord, knowing and feeling confident that you have. And tonight, Lord, I've come to try to share what you've laid upon my heart. And I pray, Lord Jesus, for your anointing right now to do just that. And Father, I pray that each one of us would be changed, more determined as we leave this place tonight, Lord, to heed your word. And Father, I pray for those here tonight that may not know you, don't know you as personal Savior. The Bible says they're lost. Father, I pray that no one leaves this place tonight lost, but that we all leave this place tonight with victory in Jesus. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Isn't it amazing that right in the middle of some of the most wonderful verses, in all the Bible, you find one word that's the saddest word that I've ever heard, lost. What do you think about when you think about the word lost? You know, you might think about a time when you were lost, a time when you didn't know where you were, you didn't know which way to go, nothing looked familiar, and you looked around and a panic began to set in because you realized at that moment you were lost. For others, you hear the word lost, and it might bring to mind something valuable that you've lost. It may happen in a whole variety of ways. Your home may have been lost. A loved one may have been lost. Your health may have been lost. For others, it could mean the loss of innocence or purity, a lost hope, a lost dream, a lost love. What a terrible thing to be lost yourself or to lose someone or something that's valuable to you. But without question, I believe the saddest thing in the world we can ever think about is a lost soul. Jesus said one time, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? It's tragic, but true. The Bible speaks a great deal about the terrible tragedy and the terrible darkness of a lost soul. In fact, if you think about it, what a word that word is. Lost. Lost. It just has an air about it. You find the word frequently in the Bible. At other times, you'll find this word, perish. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, should not be lost, but have everlasting life. To be lost means to be outside, to be apart from Jesus. It means to be lost means that in all of your life, you have never done the most important thing that you should do in this life. And that is surrender your heart and life to Jesus Christ. If you have not done that, you're lost. Amen, Brother David. But it even goes farther. The word lost has eternal consequences. When someone dies without Jesus, they go into eternity, lost forever. I want to ask you tonight. And as I said, I don't know. I prayed and prayed and prayed. This is what God gave me, so this is what it is. I prayed and prayed, but I've come here to ask you this. Are you lost? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Think about what he says here, the condition of a lost sinner. Jesus is speaking not only about the reason why he came, but who he came for, the lost. He goes into much more detail in other scriptures in Luke 15. You probably recognize Luke 15. One pastor called it the lost and found department of the Bible. But in Luke 15, without question, we find out just how important lost people are to God. And by the way, there are only two kinds of people in this whole world, saved and lost. There are no other kinds. And no matter what you are, no matter what you've done or what you may do, you won't die wealthy or poor. You won't die educated or illiterate. You won't die famous or a nobody. You'll die saved or lost. So Luke 15 shows us some important things about lost things. The opening two verses give us the context in Luke 15, verse 1 and 2. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Jesus told a parable about lost things, and he told that very parable why he's being criticized by religious leaders. They couldn't believe that he was hanging out with sinners. But aren't you glad he did? See, if he came just for good people, folks like me and you would be in a mess, man. Amen? Praise the Lord. We'd be sunk if he didn't associate with sinners. Matter of fact, this is why he came. Did you know that this one verse does away with, in my mind, that debate about limited atonement? You know, because you see, everybody's lost, and he came for everybody. Here we hear these verses, and we don't have very little problem with these verses, but I'm going to tell you something. What if you had a dinner here, and you invited, let's say this, you invited all the drug dealers, you invited all the pornographers, you invited the baddest of the bad, you brought them right in here, and you served a big dinner for them. Let me tell you what would happen. Some people would be offended. Some people would walk out of here and say, "I'm never going back because that bunch is associating and eating with those kind of people." But let me tell you something. I feel the Lord. This is why he came, for those kind of people. Truth be known, we've all been those kind of people. But we've never been called not to try to reach everyone. We've never been called to sit around, pat each other on the back, and wait for Jesus. We've been called to go out into a lost world. So Jesus shares three parables to explain what it means to be lost. He talks about a lost sheep. And as he talks about this lost sheep in Luke 15, we see the danger here. Most of you know this story, but to summarize it, a man had 100 sheep, and he counts them, and he's got 99, and there's one missing. So he leaves all those that are in the fold to search for the one that's lost. He's using a figure of speech here of sheep to describe what it means to be lost. In Isaiah 53 and 6, it says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid the iniquity of us all upon him." What a graphic picture. That lost sheep, that one that's out there, is now alone and now afraid. Did you know that that's a picture of what a lost person feels inside? Oh, they may appear self-confident. They may appear even cocky at times. But if you got really down to the root of things, down deep inside, they feel alone and afraid. How can I be so sure? Used to be one. I know what it feels like. It's a lonely existence. And some have described my generation as the lost generation in the church. You look around at most churches, and there's more gray hair and white hair than the other hair. The hair that's still there. And the median age of most churches is around 65 years old, but the median age of our county is around 30. See where I'm going? There's a lot of lost people here, man. A lot of lost people. We live in a time when most people are lost. A time when most people don't have a moral compass. They don't have any guidance. They don't have any standards, no methods to determine right and wrong. And the church doesn't seem to have an answer. But I'm going to tell you, here is the answer. Have you noticed something? You can engage people in a conversation, and you can talk about the weather or sports or food or travel or family. They'll talk all day long. But when you turn that conversation to spiritual things, you know, like where you think you're going when you die? What place does Christ have in your life? You get this blank stare. And then they'll say something like this: "Well, I think that's a personal thing. Let me translate that for you. I am lost." It's like you're speaking another language. Why? They're lost without Christ. What a terrible thing to be lost, to be outside the safety of stray, and have no clue as to how to find their way to safety. And you know what? Sometimes we add to the problem. Is this okay? Cal will hear it anyway. That's okay. He'll find it. But think about this. We add to the problem. We do it as Christians. You would never fuss at a man for being lost. If he couldn't find his way, you wouldn't go and fuss at him for being lost. Or you'd never go to a guy and say, "You know what, if you just stop doing that stuff, you wouldn't be lost anymore." He doesn't need a lecture. He doesn't need a judge. He needs a friend. He needs somebody who cares enough about him to tell him the truth and to lead him to the place where he won't be lost anymore. To lead him to the great shepherd. Sheep don't intend to get lost. People don't intend to get lost. The Bible says they go astray. They don't deliberately go astray. Sheep will just nibble a little bit here and see something greener here, nibble a little bit there, and they just keep on working, and then look up and they're far from the shepherd and lost. But they didn't start out that way. The same thing happens to many people. They didn't have any intention of completely messing up their life when they started. No intention of ending up where they ended up. Nobody that ever started experimenting with drugs started out thinking this stuff's going to kill me. Nobody that ever started out flirting in an office had this thought, you know what, this is going to kill my marriage, destroy my life, and take everything I've got. Nobody started out thinking that way. But people like sheep wander away, and they end up in places where they never dreamed, doing things they never imagined. Other times, sheep get lost following other sheep. People do as well, trying to be accepted, recognized. They want to, you know, try to be like those that they admire. Not intending to be lost, they just trying to be cool. Then one day they reach that place where they never imagined doing things that they would have guaranteed they'd never do, and their so-called friends and the ones they've admired are gone. And they're lost. Lost is a dangerous place for a sheep. For now he's a victim to the elements. One false move, one misstep could mean death. Easy prey for wolves and the like. Isn't it amazing how that same situation is for all those outside of Christ? Church, that's one of the things I came to tell you tonight. We have got to realize that those who don't know Jesus are one step away from eternity without God. One move away from eternity without God. One bad choice away. Maybe one night away from an eternity without God. And this should move us. Not just to say, you know, well, yes, I understand that. It should move us. Time is of the essence. Why? Because I've got family that's lost. Good possibility you've got family that's lost. We've all got friends who are lost. And we don't have time to sit around and discuss how they got out there. Nor discuss, you know, what might have happened to change it. What I'm trying to tell you is we don't need another Bible study to discuss how it happened. We don't need another seminar of how in the future we might prevent it. We need to go now because they're lost. And if they die without Christ, they'll go to hell. Then Jesus rolls right into another story. The lady with the lost coin, and the Bible says that when she lost that coin, she swept that house. She's looking diligently, frantically. She's looking all around on the stove, in the couch cushions, man, up on the mantle. Even gets the candle out, looking out on the bed. Jesus said that's also what it means to be lost. Darkness. Darkness. Someone will say, well, what's the deal? You know, what's the big deal? It's just one coin. Why is she so bent out of shape? Well, if you study in those days, you find out that married women wore a headband as a symbol of their marriage, and those headbands were made up of silver coins strung together in similar fashion to what a wedding band would be today. These coins were typically given to the bride by her father on her wedding day. And it had several functions for the married woman at that time. It declared to everyone she was a married woman. These coins also declared her independence. Each coin was the equivalent of one day's wages. So from the looks of things, this lady and her husband, they weren't that wealthy. She only had 10. Some of the headbands of that day had dozens of coins. But it was also identified in that day as a sinful woman, because if she was guilty of unfaithfulness, what would happen was they would take one of the coins. You see where I'm going? And tell everyone she was an adulteress. In other words, these coins were there to bring glory to the bride. As long as that coin was missing, her beauty was marred and incomplete. That's why she's so upset. But this coin is absolutely of no value at all. What it's lost, it's good for nothing. It couldn't adorn her head. It couldn't bring grace to her life. It couldn't be used to provide the essentials of life. It was useless as long as it's lost. That's why it's imperative for it to be found. It's not just another piece of silver. It's part of her beauty. And it was out of place. What a lesson here for us. To be lost means it's something valuable. Someone valuable is out of place. They're not where they should be. In a day in our culture where it seems like life is valued very little. You say, well, David, what are you saying? Well, have you noticed how cheap it seems life is getting to be? It just seems like that we're just another name on a list or another number. Millions of babies being aborted. Where's the outcry from the church? And I'm not talking about just to make a stand and say, you know what, we don't like that. I'm talking about saying, no, this is enough. This is enough. And even millions more being abused and neglected. Senior adults being abused and forgotten. And hardly anybody talks about it and seems to care. But here's the lesson for us. Everybody is valuable to God. Everybody's valuable to God. Not just saved people. All people are valuable to God. That's why He's interested in the lost. Because He knows that as long as they're lost, something valuable is missing. A precious soul is missing. That coin had been created and minted for a purpose. It had value simply by its mere creation. But think about that. God has a purpose for your life, friend. He created you. He's got a great plan for you. It's like I told him down there this morning. You're the only you that God ever made. Isn't that amazing? It goes something like this. When God made you, He took a step back and said, I'll never do that again. But see, here's the thing about it. The great tragedy of it, that even though this coin was in the house, it was still lost. You know what that tells me? There could be people in the very house of God. The very house of God. Valuable to the ministry. Valuable to God. But they're lost. They may sing the right songs. They may say the right words. Mom and dad may have been Christians. Their children may have been Christians. They may even be members of the church. They may even be in leadership. But the bottom line is this. When you get it all down to the nitty gritty, they're lost. I can't tell you how many times I think about this. Lost. Sitting in the very seats of our churches. Lost in our Sunday school classes. As you zero in on this lady, you can tell she's looking anywhere. She's looking anywhere it may have been. Houses in that day rarely had a window. They had dirt floors, so the only place this thing could be is in the dark and in the dirt. Didn't start out that way, but somehow it got that way. And once again, where do you find lost people? In the dark and in the dirt. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:3, if our gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost. The most amazing thing to me is how many people right around us have never heard the glorious gospel. Heard a pastor I was with this morning. He said that he had started working with the Good News Club, he and his wife, at the school near their church. And he said the most amazing thing he'd ever seen in his life, he said the other day they handed two Bibles to two young children, and the children said this, what is that? We got to stop taking for granted that everybody knows. We got to stop taking for granted that everybody's heard about Jesus. We got to stop taking for granted that everybody's got a Bible, that everybody's heard the stories in Scripture.
We've got to stop taking that for granted. Because there's so many people out there, they've never heard about Jesus. Or what they've heard about Jesus is either cloudy or wrong or completely off base. And you know the thing that breaks my heart? Many of them may have never seen a real Christian. That's why you're here. That's why God has placed you strategically on this street. God made man for one purpose, for his own glory. It's what the Bible tells us, Isaiah 43:7. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I've created him for my glory. I formed him, yes, I've made him. For this woman, her life could not be complete until she had found the coin that she had lost, because it filled an important place in her life. See, God's complete without you or me. I don't ever want to forget that. God does not need me. He does not need me. I try to tell my church all the time, if I drop dead in the pulpit, Lone Oak Church will go on because God doesn't need me. But we got to have Him. We got to have Him. And I know that I'm not naive. I know there's some here right now, and there's a thought running through your mind, how dare this guy tell me that I might be lost? Because we don't like to admit things like that. Men certainly don't like to admit they're lost in any way. How do I know? I am one. We just don't. But you know, have you noticed something? It's hard to find a sinner these days. Because now the thought process is, no matter how you live, no matter what, when you die, you just go to a better place. And everybody goes there. Not according to what the Bible says. The Bible says if you're not saved, you're lost. It's kind of like that pilot that was, he radioed his passengers, the pilot of a plane, he radioed his passengers, said, folks, our compass has gone down. We don't know exactly which way we're going. We don't know where we are. We're running short on fuel, but I want to tell you we're making great time. Men don't like to admit they're lost, especially when we're driving. Amen? Somebody give me an amen. We just don't do it, man. You know, stop and ask direction, not me. You know, and then you go along there, and then, you know, Donna looked up and she said, you really think this is? Yes, it's the way. Kids used to be in the back. Daddy, are we there? No, we're not there yet. I'll let you know when we're there. Then you finally have to break down, pull over. Sir, could you tell me where I need to go? We just don't like to do it, man. We don't like to admit those things. But see, there's an amazing thing about being saved. You can't get saved if you admit you're lost. But there's hope for you when you do. In this verse, Jesus tells us about the condition of a lost sinner, but he also tells us about the compassion of a Savior. That's why he came. That's what he's all about right here. See, Jesus didn't come to be a good example. He didn't come just to give us a standard of behavior. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Just look at him as he did. See, the shepherd went out and he's seeking the lost sheep, and he seeks until he finds. And think about what Jesus did. Read the life of Jesus. Read about him in the Gospels. He sought people everywhere. It was down by the seashore. He sought them. At the tax collector's table, he sought them. By the well side, he did. At nighttime, he did. Everywhere he went, he's seeking those who are lost. That's why you who are saved need to get somebody that's lost on your heart. Because we say we want to be like Jesus, and I believe we do. You need to get somebody on your heart. Ask God to help you be a witness to somebody who is lost. You say, well, where are they? Everywhere. Everywhere. They're in the schools. They're where you buy your groceries, at the doctor's office. They're where you work. They're standing beside you in a checkout line. They're lost people everywhere. Are you seeking anybody that's lost? Because here's the deal. Sheep don't come back on their own. Dogs will. When I was at home, we had an old dog that walked up one time. Daddy said, I'm going to take that dog off. I don't know how far he took that thing, but by the time he got back home, the dog was back on the porch saying, where you been? Dogs come back. Cats will come back. Well, I don't even talk about cats. But anyway, cats will come back. Sheep don't come back. You have to seek for them. But have you ever thought about this? The shepherd sought the one. He had 99. What's the big deal? And if you think what's the big deal, you don't understand God at all. Because you see, if you'd been only the only one, he would have done it just like he did. He wouldn't have changed anything. So therefore, the shepherd leaves the 99. And you see, seeking the lost, it's not about growing a church. It's not about all those things. You know what seeking the lost is? It's about love. I care. And I want you to know Jesus. And I'm willing to go out of my way to share him with you. Let me ask you something. Do you love lost people? Think about it a second. Do you love lost people? Does your heart burn for the boys and girls in this community that need Jesus? Does your heart break for those kids that when they leave school in the afternoon, they don't hear another kind word until they get back? Does your heart break for that man that's been a friend of yours for years and you can talk about anything? You can go fishing, you can go hunting, you can just share life together, but every time you bring up Jesus, it's like he just has a blank stare. Do you love that guy? The Lord seeks sinners. He's searching. You see what this woman's searching? She takes a light. Jesus uses a light. You know what light he uses? The scriptures, yes, but you know what else? The testimony of saved people. This lady is sweeping. She's stirring things up, man. It's time we get stirred up about lost people. Don't raise your hand, but think about it a second. How many of you have ever personally led someone to Jesus Christ? And if you have, God bless you. And if you haven't, please start now. Later on this chapter, you hear about the lost son who comes home. But you know, I can just imagine, sometimes I try to place myself in the place of that dad. The suffering that he went through. He even said, my son was dead, now he's alive again. I think about so many who are dead spiritually. But then I think about the suffering that's in that word, saved. Because you see, along about this time, Luke comes to the place and he says, at that time, Jesus set himself steadfastly toward Jerusalem. He was bound and determined to do what he'd come to do. As he headed for Jerusalem, there was a cross in his heart. But as one old-time preacher said, when he got to Calvary, he planted that cross in the heart of the world. Because he'd come to seek and to save the lost. And don't miss this, my friend. The last part of our text is lost, but the first part is shouted cross. It's the cross that proves why he came. Have you ever thought about this? What would happen if Jesus had just decided to stop along the way? While he was in Bethlehem, growing up there, then born there and then growing up in Nazareth, what if he decided to say, you know what, this is just too difficult. I'm going back to heaven. Good luck to you. What about when they mocked him, ridiculed him during all of his earthly ministry? So you know what? I don't need this. What about when he was arrested, spit upon, and slapped, and beaten, unrecognizable? What if he'd said right then, you know what? I'm the king of the universe. I'm not going through this. I don't believe it ever entered his mind in
And here's the reason why. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And nothing was going to stop him from that. Folks, I say that it's time that we dedicate ourselves to seeking the lost. He went all the way. And the case in point is still there in Luke 19. And I'll close with that. Think about this. He was going through Jericho. It was the last time he go through Jericho. But you remember who he met there that day? Zacchaeus. And think about this. Think about how much you say, well, you know, does he love the one? Yes. Because not only does he go to the town where he lived in, the street that he lived on, he looks up the tree that he's climbed up. Why? Because salvation had come to that house that day. That's what Jesus said. But what if Zacchaeus had said, no, I'm going to wait till another time? There was no other time. Because he's headed to the cross. See, we need to share the gospel with the lost in this way. Like there is no other time. And if we really believed that it was the last time we'd have opportunity to share the gospel, we'd get over some stuff. We get over this stuff, well, you know, I don't know whether they're going to like me anymore. They're lost. Well, I don't know what people might say. Get over that anyway, okay? Attack it this way. Go at it this way. I'm going to share the gospel with you because I love you. And because Jesus loves you. And that's why he came. And that's why I'm here. I want you to be saved. And I want you to know this precious Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Heard a story one time. Go ahead, Jim. Heard a story one time. Little boy was lost in this massive wheat field. In the little village there, they began to look for him. They began to search for him high and low. But they couldn't find him. And finally somebody said this, why don't we all just go to the edge of this field and let's just lock arms. And let's just walk across this field together. And when they did that, in just a short while, they had found this little boy. But it was too late. He was dead. And his mom looked up and said, you know, why didn't you join together sooner? You know what the enemy's trying to do? He's trying to get us to stay in competition with one another. He's trying to get us to say, you know what, we got our deal out at Lone Oak. You got your deal at Second Mile. They got their deal at First Baptist. They got their deal at Hilldale. You know, God bless them all. But I believe that God's Word is pointing us to the fact that it's time for us to lock arms. It's time for us to stand as one. It's time for us to declare the message this. Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, came to seek and to save that which was lost. And I want to be part of that. And I want our churches to join together and to even function as one to reach the lost. If you believe that, stand with me and let's pray. Jim, would you play? Would you just bow your head for just a moment? As I said to you earlier, I can't always explain why the Lord would have me to preach what he does, but I want to be faithful. And I want to share with you tonight before we pray the
reason why we must share with the lost is because we have the best news this world knows anything about. His name is Jesus. And for that person here tonight that's lost, or that person here tonight that has trusted in anything other than the shed blood of Jesus Christ to save them, I invite you to come now. Jesus said, likewise, I say to you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Would there be one tonight who would come and say, yes, I'm lost, but I don't want to be lost anymore. Father, in your blessed and your glorious name, I ask you now, Lord, to speak to our hearts. Lord, for those that don't know you as Lord and Savior, I pray they realize that they are lost. Father, for those that are saved here tonight, I pray, Lord, that you would bring a face to mind, a name and a face to mind, of someone they know that's lost, and that they would leave this place tonight determined to share the glorious gospel with that person this next week. We pray these things in Jesus' name.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.